This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 182 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. Marcus, I got to tell you, I'm doing and feeling a lot better this week. How about yourself?
No, I have bronchitis. Whatever it was, the Pressnomics wave has hit me. But I'll make it. Don't worry.
Wow. Well, get well soon. Jeez, that's terrible.
Codeine cough syrup. I feel like Justin Bieber right now.
Oh, jeez. All right, so we got an awesome guest on tap for the show tonight. His name is Triple J. And as it turns out, Triple J is a government-funded, nationally Australian radio station intended to appeal to listeners between the age of 18 and 30. And I found that out by trying to get his bio information from Wikipedia. And apparently, I don't think that's correct. In fact, I did find out that it was a British boy band which has recently changed its name to Union J. So considering all of that information is incorrect, in fact, John, you've been on the show a few times now. I almost want to give you the honorary title of friend of the show because you've been on.
Because
you've been on so many times. But for new listeners or anyone who has no clue as to who you are, give us a brief introduction of who you are and what you do.
Hi. So my name is John. I am the project lead for Buddy Press and BB Press, occasionally WordPress contributor, back press evangelist and hold on tourer, and soon to be Glot Press helper outer, ex automatician, ex ten upper, current Floxer, A few WordPress plugins. I like to speak at WordCamps. Generally like to be helpful in the WordPress community wherever I can. Started a couple of WordCamps, co-organized a couple of WordCamps, a couple of meetups, and that's about it. I'm tall. People think I have red hair. I don't. And right. So now I'm curious. Who are the other friends? Who am I up against? Right. Like. You know, Johnny Carson had some repeat guests all the time. Joan Rivers, Jay Leno eventually hosted the show. Am I in line to host the show eventually?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
No. Okay. Okay.
No, but I will tell you, you are the first person I have actually given the title as honorary friend of the show. So you are the first.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. I appreciate that. Wow. That's awesome. Thank you. I'd like to thank my wife. For being so understanding. I'd like to thank my mom for, the whole creation of me process.
Don't forget the dog.
Right, and Paul the dog, and Penny the dog. Paul has a new adopted sister.
Awesome.
So I appreciate that. That's fun. Thank you.
So the reason why we brought you on the show is this is going to be sort of different from our typical interview. Usually I have a list of questions in front of me. But I decided many of the conversations I've personally had with you at WordCamps have been fantastic. They've been awesome. I thought, you know, it'd be great if somehow we can bring you on the show and just talk about some of these things, you know, and not have to go by any set of questions or whatever. So I have no idea where the show's going to go tonight, except I hope it stays out of the gutter and stays informational, but we'll see. So with that said, Marcus and I thought it would be a great idea. It's March, so we're about 3 months into your crowdfunding campaign. So for those who don't know out there, you actually did, back in December of 2014, you did a crowdfunding campaign to try and raise $50,000 to work on Buddy Press, BB Press, and Glot Press full-time for 6 months. And you were successful in that crowdfunding campaign. So 3 months into it, kind of give us a status update and report on what you've been able to accomplish so far. I want to know how you've put my part of that $50K to good use.
So those are good questions. The I guess for Buddy Press, has so far gotten the bulk of my attention.
Well, trust me, I can't tell.
So when the campaign had ended, and I was still working a little bit on sort of transitioning some client work and kind of wrapping up some things on Phlox so that I could focus on Buddy Press and BB Press and Glot Press. So I was already kind of neck deep in Buddy Press at the time and hadn't really contributed really nearly as much as I had in the past. So 1.9 was on its way out, or 2.0 was on its way out. 2.1 was sort of also on its way out in January. We had been planning 2.2 stuff, and we had gone through track and prioritized some stuff for 2.3. And so I spent the majority of the end of December just reading and playing catch-up on track with what Boone and Ray and Paul and iMath and everyone else, Mercy Me, Hugo, everyone had kind of been steering the ship for a while. And so rather than come in guns blazing, it was more where can I contribute, where can I help out, where can I what can I take off of everybody's plates? And that was largely reviewing tickets, patches, prioritizing, cleaning up track, some fixes to buddypress.org itself, and then packaging up releases, setting milestones, roadmaps, scopes, getting dates and stuff. Generally taking over the leadership and steering that Boone had been doing, that Paul, I think, had did once, and really getting re-familiarized with where the code base had sort of evolved. And that was awesome. I mean, it was I kind of have always stayed on top of it and paid attention to it and led it and contributed to it, but there's a difference between, at least for me anyways, there's a difference between, helping and watching and leading and then actively participating, right? So since everyone had been already actively participating and I hadn't, I wanted to come in a little bit fresh. So 2.1 shipped, 2.2 shipped. We've put out 2.2.1 because 2.2 was so good it needed another one, and then we'll put out 2.2.2 to fix some other little regressions and tiny little things, compatibility issues with 2015, some other little stuff. But some of the feature dev has gone into some things that have been on BuddyPress's roadmap for a long time. Private message meta, we're working on notification meta for 2.3, just cleaning up some really long outstanding issues that have been in the future release milestone for a really long time. We've added a few new contributors. So Michael Beckwith is doing inline docs, the same as Drew does for WordPress Core. And then Hugo, which people might know as HNLA all across the BuddyPress.org forums, is going to have some guest commit access for 2.3 to bring our default templates up to speed with or sort of improve the compatibility of WordPress's bundled themes so that it looks and feels a little bit more intentional rather than just kind of looking and feeling like it works but not real great. So that's where BuddyPress is.
Let's back up one minute here. So we have a lot of new listeners to the show and even some newbies to WordPress, even in this last week, that have contacted both Jeff and I, they enjoy the show. Let's get into first, what is BuddyPress? What is it supposed to do? And my question is, how come it doesn't do that?
Wow. So
I'm speechless. Question,
right? No, he's not wrong. So BuddyPress is, we've sort of called it a social network in a box for a long time. We're kind of shifting a little bit away from that because social networks sort of come preloaded with some notions about what they should be and what they are, maybe what you don't want them to be. So it's more or less the software that you would use to run a membership site or a community. It mm-hmm. is a plugin that is a suite of components that all work with each other to provide a robust and sophisticated social network environment in your WordPress. So it's an activity streams, extended profiles beyond what WordPress provides, members and groups, allowing members to group themselves together. If you have BB Press Active, the bulletin board software, then it groups can have forums so that they can sort of have isolated sort of niche networks within your niche networks. Users can message each other privately, just like a chat or anything else that you would have on Facebook or Etsy or any other sort of social environment. So for all of the things like WordPress is good at and comes with all these really robust APIs for managing images and writing to a database and having a template, you know, engine for output. Well, BuddyPress uses all of those things, all of WordPress's core features, because they're sound and they work really well. But WordPress is really about democratizing publishing and having your own content, your own blog, your own site, probably for an individual or for a company or something, you know, to publish content to on the web. Well, BuddyPress is sort of the opposite of that, where it's really less about a blog or less about the news or the content or the pages, and it is more about the authors, the users, the members of that site. So where a traditional WordPress website may be a series of pages and a blog, and you know, maybe you do have a plugin like Easy Digital Downloads or WP eCommerce or WooCommerce for a shopping cart to sell your things, well, you would use BB Press for your support forums, and then you might use BuddyPress to sort of accentuate that and have your niche community so that members can talk to each other, can congregate, can have more robust profiles, can log things to their activity streams, that kind of thing. And then your last question, the reason or why doesn't it do that, is probably a better question than you meant for it to be, because
he's been asking this question for a long time, so I think he's giddy to finally ask the
now I gotcha
horse's mouth. Yeah, so, I gotcha.
So this segues, I think, nicely into what Jeff wants out of this is the behind the scenes sort of the back channel discussion that happens at WordCamps, where in the early days of BuddyPress, BuddyPress was WordPress MU specific before WordPress 3.0, before there was the big merge. BuddyPress was a completely different piece of software back in 2007 and 2008. And to the point where everything that happened in BuddyPress happened within WP Admin. So there was no theme compatibility, there were no templates, there was no front end like themes. I've gotten to call it theme side versus like admin side. Because their BuddyPress didn't have any theme side code at all. So your profile was within WP Admin. You would message each other between WP Admin. All of your sort of blogging and your activity happened within your site. Like, it had to be multi-site. Every user had a site, and all of their activity pretty much happened within their site. Now, looking back, I really love that idea. And I think that if someone was going to reinvent BuddyPress today, that they would probably do it very similar to that. Custom post types, custom taxonomies, the APIs the way they are now. WordPress is a much more developer-friendly environment than it was in 2007 and 8. So the reason why BuddyPress kind of doesn't really do some of the things that you might imagine that it should is because back in 2008, when Automattic had sort of acqui-hired Andy Peatling, who's the original founder of BuddyPress, And Matt really liked Buddy Press, which is why he brought Andy on. And Andy still works at Automattic, does an amazing job working on some of the newer things and trendier things that are going on WordPress.com. Buddy Press was sort of the very loose direction that something like WordPress.com could have gone. WordPress.com was MU only. Buddy Press was MU only. WordPress.com, every user had a blog. Buddy Press was sort of designed and architected to work that same way. But when it became clear that WordPress.com's direction was not to be a full-on, full-blown social network, but was instead to be about hosting blogs mostly for individual users, then the direction for Buddy Press to still remain a viable piece of software was to open it up to be more customizable on the theme side of things. So very similar to what the root of WordPress.com is now with the new dashboard. Originally, Buddy Press came with a theme that was intentionally the root blog of that site. It was the new dash for your community. It was the activity log. It was the group of people that you were friends with on that installation. A lot of what WordPress.com has evolved into over the course of the past 5 or 6 years is sort of what the original Buddy Press was back in the day.
I'm glad you brought that up, because as you're describing the vision of what Buddy Press is or was back in the day, I'm thinking, well, if you look at WordPress.com today, you have likes, follows, streams, reader. You have all. To me, it is almost a huge social network. It has a ton of social network-like features. I mean, it's kind of crazy that they decided to build it all on their own, when really maybe they could have been ahead of the curve with what Buddy Press offered.
Yep, it absolutely does. And so during a period of time when I was at Automattic and was on, Automattic split up into teams, and when I had moved to the social team, which was a very logical fit, right, for what it is that I'm interested in working on and sort of championing and talking about, WordPress.com, the only difference, I think, the major difference at least, between WordPress.com today and Buddy Press for the most part, is that WordPress.com has a very open loop when it comes down to what it is that individual users are doing on WordPress.com. So I have no way to identify what it is that either one of you are doing across WordPress.com. There is no profile for you. There is no activity stream for you. I don't know what comments you're leaving. I don't know what posts that you like. And that is the only difference between WordPress.com, or the major difference, the glaring difference between a traditional social network and what WordPress.com is today. And that was part of the thing that I really wanted to do while I worked at Automattic, was to close that loop. If it was going to be through Gravatar, which is sort of where your WordPress.com profile kind of lives, or if it was going to be through WordPress.com or some other thing, I really, for someone like Matt, who influences millions of people, it would be nice to be able to follow Matt's activity across WordPress.com, to see what blogs he's following, to see what blogs he's commenting on, to see what things that he cares about, or Mark Jakewith or Andy Nason or even if any friend or person that you enjoy following or keeping up with or whatever. And
or like Facebook, you have groups, so you can have people create groups, and then with their individual blogs, let's say you have just a awesome community of people who are routinely, like, food blogs publishing recipes, you can create a group.
Right.
You know, that'd be a feature of Buddy Press, and you could have this recipe group.
Right. And the one of the ironic things, I think, about like with Buddy Press compared to something like WordPress.com, compared to the what I think of is sort of a dated opinion of WordPress plugins. I guess I haven't heard it a lot recently, but one of the things that used to go around a lot at WordCamps was not to make your own database tables. Use WordPress's database tables. Use custom post types and taxonomies for everything, because you get a lot of things for free. And I think that is true for like a very large percentage of cases, and it does seem to work well enough for things like post formats or navigation menus and things that are in WordPress core. For something that could inevitably be as large as a social network, or even something like WordPress.com, WordPress.com doesn't store everything in custom post types. If it did, it wouldn't work, right? Like, WordPress.com has a bunch of different database tables that do a bunch of different really cool things that have nothing to do with custom post types or taxonomies, right? So, and that's about where really the similarities between WordPress.com's architecture and BuddyPress kind of stop. They aren't the same thing. They're not the same schema underneath. They're not the same code. But there is a lot of overlapping functionality over the years of evolution of WordPress.com. Think notifications, right? Like the notifications that you get on WordPress.com when someone likes a post or replies back to you. I think the recent upgrade, the UI changes to WordPress.com's notifications are sweet. They're super fast. They're really relevant and helpful. They bulk everything together into larger counts. I mean, on WordPress.com, they really did fix notifications to be really, really cool. BuddyPress's notifications are not really that good, but they could be. We have the data. We have the schema. It could be. We could do that, but we haven't really haven't built it out to be. So the reason why BuddyPress just isn't what maybe you want it to be is because we did reinvent it years ago, and I think, you know, one of the things I've always wanted for BuddyPress is for there to be more of an admin UI, right? Like for there to be an admin UI for private messaging between users, for there to be an admin UI for notifications so that any third-party plugin could hook into BuddyPress and just use it for its notifications, use it for its activity streams, use it for groups, and be able to interact with all those things within WP Admin. Unfortunately, by the time that we would build all these things today, let's say that it took a year to build those things out. A year from now, there will be a RESTful API in WordPress core, and people will be building brand new dashboards that have nothing to do with WP Admin.
Yep,
so
yep.
Even if we invest the time to build this thing that I've been imagining, I think we're just too far for the benefit to be that real. I still think it would be a valuable exercise, but I don't know that it would be revolutionary by any means. It would simply be what it could have or should have been a few years ago, right? So,
well, Marcus,
hopefully,
you see how Marcus said it. This got really deep. This got really deep. Now I wanna let everyone take a breather here because their brains might be on the verge of exploding. But this is great stuff. Do you remember around the time when you were employed by Automatic?
Oh yeah, I can. I remember those. Oh, 2010 is when I started.
Oh, 2010. Okay, so
2010.
So
I feel like I have to correct myself. 2010.
So about 2 years before that, there was this thing called. I want to talk a little bit about BB Press. There was this thing called TalkPress, which sort of just came out of nowhere, and an idea to have hosted forums. So it was like BB Press, but running on WordPress.com, so forums could be like a feature or to some extent. And I thought it was a really good idea. So there were a couple of websites out there that utilized it or implemented it. I think they were on VIP. It might have been a VIP feature. And I think this was around the time of the stable release of 1.0, and you know, this is back before it was standalone software, not a plugin. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be, I don't know what the status is on it. It seems like it's still there. It seems like it's in the back of whatever closet Automatic has, which is a very deep closet. but your thoughts and ideas on having a hosted forum platform, maybe powered by WordPress.com through BBPress. Even so, maybe not so much of back then, but how about today? Right. You think it would work today? Or
there are a few challenges. I think it would work, but there are a few challenges. And these are challenges that during my period of time on Automatic's VIP team that we couldn't really come to a really good conclusion to or a solution for. And as a result, we ended up with a few BBPress as a plugin VIP clients and essentially confirmed our suspicions. And I believe that they're still hosted there and their sites are still active there. However, the engineering time that it would take and the philosophical decisions regarding what to do with user data, since all of these accounts and all of these people interacting on these forums are WordPress.com accounts. They are not accounts for the user of the site, meaning if they wanted to export their community and self-host it, what does it look like to export WordPress.com users and move them to your own self-hosted installation, right? Regardless of, I feel like, the terms of service issues that could be addressed or the privacy concerns that could be addressed, the legal end of it, and all those things they are complicated and would take a little bit of time, but they are solvable problems. It comes down more to offering that big of a service would require dedicated attention and dedicated drive and focus that would essentially be full-time staff working towards something that isn't necessarily really super popular and not there aren't a ton of people knocking down WordPress.com VIP's door to say we really want forums on our site.
Yeah.
And so as a result, the sort of BBPress as a plugin was a fun sort of experiment, but it was never a priority to VIP. And that's okay because as a business, it's a difficult problem to solve. I think something like Slack is an interesting example on how to solve this problem because underneath it all, you do still have an account somewhere. But if you guys have been in two or three or four Slack networks at a time, there's the WordPress.org network, but maybe you have one for the tavern, maybe you have one for something else, and you can be logged into five or six of them with different email addresses. You have a different username for people mentioning you, different notifications across each network. Slack solved that problem in an interesting sort of way, in a way that I don't know that WordPress.com could easily solve, so long as it is one big, prolific WordPress multi-site installation. If it ever came to pass where you know, it's perfect for something like WP Engine where they're rolling out a bunch of separate isolated silos that are separate installations with separate users tables and everything else. WordPress is still managed for you, but you get to relinquish some control of your community out to your user base and your members. But it is trickier for WordPress.com. And as a result, it just was never prioritized. It would have taken too much time and it wasn't a priority. Though, like you mentioned, TalkPress, TalkPress.com still redirects to VIP.WordPress.com.
Yes, it does.
So TalkPress as an idea is something that, I mean, I haven't talked to Matt in a while, but if I had to guess, Matt probably still secretly loves the idea.
When he comes on the show, we will find out.
But it's it is a completely, I feel like it is a completely different service that hosted TalkPress or BB Press would be than hosted WordPress. I think it is a different audience, is a different approach. You would need a whole different set of themes and plugins and services around hosting forums like that. And you know, if someone decided to try and do it, I mean, maybe part of the reason why I haven't even just tried doing something like that myself is if you get it working, like if I got it working, if I built it and shipped it and called it something, I'm still sort of one guy trying to do it. And, it would make me wish I would have done it on something bigger with a little bit more manpower and flexibility at Automattic, right?
Yeah, man, we'd have to do a crowdfunding campaign of like $1 billion for you.
I guess, you know, if you want to do that and you want to give me $1 billion, then
I guess that would be the least
you could
do.
It's hard to say no. It's hard to say no to your generosity. I appreciate that very much.
So
Flox is something that's Flox is kind of similar conceptually to TalkPress, but for BuddyPress instead. Something that, I mean, having talked with Matt and even Jake at 10Up are things that they're just not interested in doing. I mean, hosting is a tough game, and I don't know that I really. I mean, it's Flox is sort of is taking what I learned from Automattic and WordPress.com and what I think worked, what I think maybe could work better, and trying to slowly and a little bit more carefully, like the early days of WordPress.com, sort of cherry pick who to host there and why, and who's going to be a good fit for it, and then gives me a lot of sort of insight and data into how BuddyPress performs and how improvements are performing, and so it's Flox is a little bit more, it's something I've had a little bit more time to think about comparatively to TalkPress or hosted forums.
Well, I wanted to talk briefly about the history of the BB Press project, and maybe even touch on a little bit of BuddyPress. But over the years, I've been covering the WordPress scene and BB Press stuff for, you know, since 2007 or so. So it's been a while. And I was there. I got to witness the sort of pitchforking of Matt when he came back out of nowhere and said, "Okay, we're gonna revamp BB Press." Just sort of, you know, the project was sort of in limbo, nobody really knew where it was going. He sort of came in and said, "Well, I got some ideas, let's do this," and boy, the people will really let him have it. But your take, it seems like BB Press, maybe not so much a Buddy Press, but definitely BB Press, where the project seems like it's gotten to the point where a lot of people sort of classify it as dead, even though maybe it's not, but on the surface.
I think it's just you.
Or maybe
it's just you. Maybe you're the only one that thinks this.
Maybe it's just me, but I mean, it seems to me like someone like you, who has taken the leadership role, who's had the energy, the time, and said, "Yeah, let's do this. Let's push, push, push." It seems like you've been the sort of the boost to sort of bring those projects back on the map and rejuvenate them. Maybe that's giving you too much credit, but at least that's what I've seen. Someone like you sort of coming along and saying, "Okay, let's regroup here and let's get it going again." I mean, is that a fair way of looking at it, or you think there's a lot more other people I haven't seen that has played an active role in keeping it together?
I think there's a ton more people that, I mean, someone like Stephen Edgar for BB Press, he's all over the place. He's really pushing the cause for converting all of the forums on WordPress.org to using the new version of BB Press. For BuddyPress, Boone Gerges' contributions and his leadership really cannot be praised any higher. I mean, his his ability to sort of envision Buddy Press for, particularly in the educational space, but also his personal ability to architect things out, to really comprehend the insides of Buddy Press, to juggle working on WordPress core taxonomies and still contributing to Buddy Press at the same time. Someone like Boone has, I mean, he volunteered and stepped up a lot in my absences, and even to that end, you know, comparatively to the figurehead that Matt is to the WordPress project, Buddy Press and BB Press, I don't feel like if you think I'm the Matt to Buddy Press and BB Press, then clearly I'm not doing what Matt is capable of, right? Like, there are lots of directions and things and ways that that I would like for Buddy Press and BB Press to be recognized as and for, and to be capable of doing and have a reputation for, that maybe it doesn't, right? And it isn't to say that maybe I'm not the right person, but maybe, I mean, I might not be. Who, I guess I'm happy that people seem to think that I am, and I constantly kind of want to do my best to make sure that I am, but at the same time, WordPress is as popular and as good as it is because of the community of contributors that have been able to come in and help reinvent and reshape it and turn it into something that's bigger and better than just Matt. And Matt sort of is able to, you know, not be so involved in the day-to-day development of WordPress, but more in the philosophy of it, in the sort of the vision of it, the really just able to spread the word and evangelize it at a level that Buddy Press and BB Press, I don't know, have yet. Whereas companies like Web Dev Studios, even 10Up using Buddy Press for a few projects here and there, the Buddy Boss guys making themes and stuff for it. I mean, Buddy Press has companies that are really behind the project and contributing and helping it be better every single day, but not at the level that WordPress is. And one of the things that I feel like that I should probably spend more time doing is that that salesmanship side of it, the evangelist side of it, where you know, I believe that Buddy Press is a really good piece of software. It kind of is the only software that I would use if I was going to start any type of community for myself. I wouldn't use, any of the other PHP, MySQL, open source community software alternatives, Dolphin, or there are a few, right, that that are popular enough that have the strong development community that are similar in functionality to Buddy Press, but I mean, I'm biased, obviously, but Buddy Press is still the piece of software that I would pick, and partly because it's built on WordPress, sort of the WordPress way, but also just because I think it's just a more capable piece of software, and I guess I don't know that that I do enough sort of evangelism on that side of it.
Well, so if you are that guy, if you are the Matt of Buddy Press and BB Press, let me just hand you the whiteboard marker right here. What are the five things that you think it needs, and you think it needs more evangelism of?
Buddy Press needs attachments. It needs media, whatever that looks like, whatever that means, I guess. But we're sort of taking some steps towards that in 2.3. But it needs, you know, what every social network for the most part has, which is the ability to attach an image or video or some kind of media to a thing. And without that, it's pretty lacking, I think. So we can use WordPress's auto-embed, and that's great. You can auto-embed, you know, movies or link off images from here and there, whatever. But it's without a simple or without a simple without the basic ability to upload an image to an activity stream update, what are your members supposed to do? Just talk back and forth to each other? It's pretty boring, right? I mean, it's not, in my opinion anyways. I mean, it is still useful, and the activity stream is a super powerful component, but without media, your community is pretty is just text back and forth, and you can do that anywhere. So it needs media for sure. And BB Press, Jeff knows what I want for BB Press, which is and is not far off either. I'll add is replacing WordPress comments with a dedicated BB Press forum or topic or taxonomy or tag or what have you for that post. So those are the two major features, one for each one. And at that point, I think it changes the game pretty significantly for both of them. There are some other little things I think that would be technical improvements that might help developers for BuddyPress, using WordPress's roles and capabilities, using WordPress's rewrite rules, little things to make it a little bit more friendly. But standout feature-wise, media is the one that sticks out in my mind. Privacy, potentially, for BuddyPress is another big deal. Because BuddyPress's primary audience is already a niche community, privacy, I think, for BuddyPress is less of a concern for me and probably for our users, but maybe not. If you wanted to run something like Etsy with BuddyPress, you would want privacy controls, right? But if you're running a car club or a site where everyone already knows each other, or a niche network of employees or internal and intranet, everyone already knows each other, so there's no reason to be private. But for BB Press, overloading comments and allowing a blog post to have a purposefully fragmented set of conversations is the next generation of comments, I feel like. Because...
So hold on. Whoa. Nice thing here. If we're going to talk about comments, I want to get my piece in here. So okay. I personally noticed that, first of all, the native commenting system of WordPress sucks. Jetpack comments sucks. Discuss comments suck.
Hey, sucks. I helped build part of Jetpack comments. I take that personally.
Well, Jetpack comments sucks a little bit less because you helped work on it. But anyways, and then intense debate is still there. It's active, but it's a distant memory. The state of commenting on the web in general, I'm seeing two things here. A lot of big name WordPress sites are just simply turning them off because they don't want to deal with them anymore. They feel that the conversation is worthless, or they don't have the time to administer them. Or B, they're offloading them to a service like a Discuss. And Discuss right now is like the big one. I see Discuss everywhere. Because it's a service and offloads it and has moderation tools and everything. And I've talked with Matt about this for the past few years. Why hasn't there been any major changes to the way the commenting system works on WordPress? And his answer was, well, it's hard to make major changes to comments when you have to worry about 100% theme compatibility. So there's that issue. But I mean, it's it's way overdue, and I just want to know your take on just the commenting scene in general. I can't wait to see some sort of revolution where comments are fun again, and it's social and they're real time and all that other stuff.
So I have a fun rant about comments. I feel like maybe I've said this before somewhere.
Well, I know what it is, but you can say it again.
Okay, so. So comments, when I first found WordPress, 2006, I suppose, and comments weren't like a new thing, right? I mean, blogging and blogs had been around for years at that point, and I was sort of just becoming refamiliarized with sort of the idea of blogs and having a blog myself, and you know, before then I had had static HTML pages and was just sort of going through the motions of being an independent DevOps, you know, with all thumbs fumbling my way through the internet trying to figure it out. And when I first comprehended that a comment is an anonymous user that has no account, that has no credentials, that has write access directly to your database with very little control within WordPress to throttle it or to prevent that from being gamed or attacked, it kind of blew my mind a little bit that, because coming from working mostly on forum software and community software, PHPBB primarily, of course you have to have an account. If you want to post something, you want to create content on this site, I need to know who you are, man. Like I can't just let you submit. I can't just let you write something to the database without knowing who you are. It doesn't make any sense. So the comments to me have always felt a little bit off, because they're drive by. They're very easy to find a blog, to say something on that blog, and then forget that I ever left that comment there, and I have no reason to ever really come back unless you have email notifications turned on and I subscribe to get emailed when you reply to my comment. Like, there are too many ifs to that experience, and then when I submit a comment on your blog, you get my comment. I don't get my comment. I have no control over that activity or that conversation. You own it now. And if you move your blog or export your content, it's yours. Like, I've given that to you, and you can edit that comment in the database. You can make it say whatever you want. It's weird to me that that is how that works. And it's never sat right with me. And then once you have a conversation, let's say that you do have an active blog post with a bunch of comments on it, reading them is a chore. It takes time to read the conversation, to figure out who's saying what and why, and then to leave a comment, at least today, and the internet today, leaving a comment on somebody else's blog usually means that this is a website that you frequent quite often or often enough to believe that you have something to actually contribute that is not only worth your time to type it, but worth the author's time to read it. And when you consider both of those directions and that both of those interactions, it's less likely that you're going to write a comment and more likely that you will just go to your own blog and write your own blog post and maybe link back to the other blog posts that you are referring to, right? And that sort of is one answer to comments, right? Well, if we had a more powerful trackback, pingback system,
word to not be abused.
Yep, there are some open web alternatives.
I'm totally relieved to hear you say that in just the base, fundamental manner as to ownership and migration, and you know, you set something up that's 9 times out of 10 going to be some sort of spam or, like you said, some sort of drive-by comment where you completely are oblivious to the fact that you made that comment, and a year later you could come back and literally see entire conversations built around your input.
Right.
And that's a fundamental flaw.
It's goofy, right? Like, there are lots of things that we interact with today, technology-wise or in the real world, that started off as really good intentions, really smart, brilliant people with really good intentions trying to solve a problem. And once you see the results of that problem solving and all those really good ideas, and you you look at it, you sit back, you'll go, okay, well, we've accomplished everything we wanted to accomplish with this feature, this rollout, this thing. And it's done now. And now that we've had time to let it simmer and settle and we look at it, we can all identify that it's not like what we thought we wanted isn't really what we need. And what we need is depends on a bunch of different things. Some blogs don't need comments at all. I think most sites are better off without comments. I think the open web initiatives regarding content ownership, identity ownership, with more powerful pingbacks and trackbacks, and the stuff that they're doing is pretty interesting. It's pretty close to what I think the internet would really benefit from, because it shifts the ownership back onto the author for that interaction. But I think it's still a little bit too disconnected for it to be commonplace for your average blogger, user, or person on the internet. But that said, the one thing that I know that I can influence and control, like right now, today, is we know that comments are not real great. And we know that there are certain things that we might want out of comments that it can't currently do. And I think that BB Press is fairly well positioned to address some of those problems in a way that is unique, that I have not really seen done, that to me, in my imagination, would be super powerful for sites that have an active commenting community.
The tavern.
Right, the tavern, exactly. So in my imagination, and honestly, you could even take existing WordPress comments and wrap some nice UI and Chrome around it and pretend like it was this. Someone could invent this tomorrow without it being BB Press. It doesn't need to be BB Press, but BB Press could do this pretty easily. Is instead of comments being a either flat or hierarchical river of conversation, and that is sometimes helpful for very quickly scanning and grokking sort of who's talking and whether or not it's worth joining in. There are benefits to that layout and that experience, I think. But if your blog posts end up with 20 or 30 comments at a time, then I think what you want are multiple topics that fork conversations about that post. So let's say that you write a post that says, Backpress is awesome, we should bring it back, and everything should be built on Backpress again. And of course, you're going to have a bunch of people that are like, Jeff, he's been drinking again. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I can't believe that he would post this. Half the people don't even know what Backpress is. Whatever, whatever, whatever. And then you'll have people like me, and maybe Otto would chime in. To kind of say, you know, Backpress is okay, and it could have been pretty sweet, and it could have been a different universe, and there are some pros to that. There is definitely are some benefits that you can imagine from having everything powered by Backpress. But you know what happens is these two conversations shouldn't necessarily intersect. They are two separate threads. There are a group of people that are talking about the pros of something and a group of people talking about the cons of something. And maybe someone wants to start a new topic and just say, Jeff, we're concerned about your sanity, and maybe it has nothing to do with Backpress. Sure. You end up with 5 or 10 topics that are all different conversations regarding the same post. And what that does is it forces people to drill themselves down into which conversation are they choosing to read, and how invested are they in those conversations to choose whether or not to be involved in them. Whereas right now with comments, there is no real return on leaving a comment, but your experience in a forum traditionally means you have registered and you have an account. It means that your posted topics have some sort of log in your profile. It means that you can subscribe, like you can with comments, but you can subscribe with a real user interface to topics and forums and things to get notified when there are replies to those things. You are inherently invested in this community because you have created an account, you have participated in the community, you are an active member of that community. Comments sort of are drive-by. They are sort of, hey, bye, I'm done. Well, forums are a dedicated user base that are going to be more increasingly active if you have a perpetually positive sort of, you're posting, you're lots of activity. Activity breeds activity, and the more people that post, and that's how the tavern came to be the tavern in the first place, was people signed up, people registered, people came, and then more people came because more people came because more people came. So,
and then they all comments, left.
Well, they all left because the forums left.
Exactly. You know, when, you know, you mentioned all this about drive-by, and I'm thinking, and I've thought a lot about your rant on comments here a lot, and I sort of look at maybe one of the biggest regrets I have is not having membership, user registration at the beginning when I launched the site. I just felt like I didn't want to mess with user accounts. I didn't want to have another layer of something I had to manage. So I'll just add these plugins and do everything else, and you can have all these cool things without being a member. But when I look at it now, there are so many great comments on the tavern that I'm really disappointed that I'm not able to, you know, sort of group them all together under one person. You can track them and see all the different conversations they've participated in over these years and sort of be, you know, like you said, sort of mm-hmm. really part of this community. It's just another drive-by comment by the same guy, at least yep. possibly the same person. And so I look at that as one of my biggest regrets of starting a site.
So I don't really think this is much of a bombshell, but the ability to replace comments with BB Press, BB Press can already do this. It's not like a checkbox in a UI, and it's not automated. There were a few different times on bbpress.org that I did this, so you can find some old blog posts that don't have comments on them, and where the comments would normally be is one specific BB Press topic. Now, it's not multiple topics, it's just one, but it could be multiple topics with a short code or however someone chooses to want to introduce that functionality. The only thing that is preventing this feature from being in BB Press proper is the ability, like you just pointed out, to migrate your existing comments into forum threads, or to decide that you don't like it and then take your forum threads and turn them back into comments. So migrating that data and making that transition easy is the blocker, because what you don't want, and you could, and maybe it wouldn't matter, but I feel like it is a bad experience to introduce BB Press for comments and then say, hey, as of today, all of our posts are going to have this, but none of the old posts will.
Oh, like that'd be devastating for my site.
Well, you're abandoning all of that old conversation and just saying, hey, like, thanks for the fish. Like, we're done now, and you got to go and do this other thing. Like, that's not cool, and you're sort of you're re-alienating your audience that you just built from having alienated them the first time from getting rid of the forums, right? So,
yeah, that would not be cool. It'd be like throwing away a bunch of gold.
Wouldn't you just be able to port that text into like a new thread that goes on the back end of those existing posts, and then, you know, roll out the conversation from there, right?
That's exactly right. The only problem is user accounts. Because all of these comments, all of these, well, let's say,
to somebody.
99% of these comments are coming from users that do not have accounts on the site. So do you A, bulk create 1,000 users, just give them an account? Well, that seems a little shifty, right? Like, they didn't ask for an account on your site, but they did authorize a comment there. So it's a little murky, right? Like, would they prefer to have an account or not? Yes or no? I think so. You could. BBPress has the functionality to have, like, air quotes here, like, anonymous posting in BBPress, but it's off by default, and it requires a bunch of PostMeta to stash all that anonymous user data in PostMeta, and it's not ideal. I mean, it's fine, and it would work, and you can port that data over, but then now you end up needing to have some sort of process to say, hey, I just made my account now in your forums, and I want to reclaim all of my old comments that were converted. Hey, I promise all of those old topics and replies really are me. It's totally fine. Give me all those and associate them with my new user account. Like, once you start imagining what this process would look like from a site administrator perspective, from a community moderator perspective, and then the end user perspective, there are three large features that need to be built that wouldn't, I mean, these are problems that are solvable, right? But they need to kind of all be solved at the same time, I think.
Let's just say Gravatar. I mean, that's where a lot of the comments come through, right? I mean, as far as authorization and such, and couldn't you just use that as your first bridge? Wouldn't that knock out half of it right there?
So that Gravatar is a good point, because Gravatar, theoretically, for most commenters, they're linking a comment to an email address that is registered in Gravatar. But at no point really is there. Maybe I'm overthinking this, and I bet you I probably am. And I don't know that I've had to say this out loud, but
yeah,
when I leave a comment on your blog, I haven't really authorized Gravatar on your site. I mean, I guess I kind of have, because I've given you my email address, but relying on Gravatar, I don't know. I mean, it's an idea. Sure. Why not?
It could be, you know, if you could get some sort of when you sign up to the new tavern, you know, would I just be able to put in one of those credentials, like log in with Facebook or log in with Google+ or one of those? Now it's, you know, log in with your Gravatar, and you can associate what is already residing on this site registered to that Gravatar.
That's an interesting thought. I would be surprised if something like that doesn't already exist just for WordPress. And if it doesn't, it could easily, because Gravatar does have a fairly sophisticated API. I know Bo Lieben spent a lot of time upgrading it and improving it and having a bunch of endpoints that are super useful. So, possibly. I don't see why not. It would be an interesting experiment to see how much data we can get from Gravatar that would be useful, that would be reliable, that could be more than just your face, right?
Right. Yeah. Use it as a credential, which we really haven't done yet.
Right. There was an interesting when I was on the social team at Automatic. We had identified through looking at Gravatar and looking at the sign-up process and just sort of looking at some ways to touch up WordPress.com that even though that there were inconsistencies around where your avatar would get pulled. So, or which avatar that it might pull, or whether or not it was cached funny, or there are a bunch of whatever it was. So, if anyone from Automatic's old social team is listening, they'll remember our team meetup project that was It was called Put My Face on My Stuff. Because there were times where you would end up with a mystery man, or times where you'd end up with one of the like monster ones, or all the different variations where like, this is, I'm logged in, you know who I am. This, we like automatic owns Gravatar. How can you not just go get the Grav? Why are we not getting this here? And it was, like a team of six of us going through and just auditing places where your avatar got pulled and making sure that your face was actually there. So that was a fun week long sort of project. So we could probably use Gravatar,
all right,
to at least help connect some things better than nothing, right? Like it would help say, yeah, this is the same email address. We see that this is in a bunch of comments. Those comments are approved, so it must be the same. I don't know. There's some work that could be done there, I think.
All right. It's a good idea. We're an hour into the show. I knew this was going to get really deep. I knew we haven't even scratched the surface on some of the stuff I wanted to talk about. But to reel it back in here, I want to ask you.
Do you only have an hour?
No.
Is there like a hard limit?
No, it's just – no. Hey, I could go all night, brother, if that's what you want to do.
I'm saying if we want to have like – if we want to have like an extended after party, I've got plenty of time. I've got all the time in the world for you guys.
Well, this is
that's I'll your just, warning, people. This is gonna
I've
be
already I've already paid for your extra time to be on the show through your through the crowdfunding campaign. So
that's
we'll just
true.
Look at it that way.
It's true.
Two questions for you. The first, what new things have you learned since starting your work with BB? About Buddy Press, BB Press, and Glatt Press full time, or have you even gotten to Glatt Press yet?
Ooh, that's a good question. So, for Glatt Press,
Before you mention your work with Glatt Press, explain what it is.
Okay, so Glatt Press is a piece of software that was originally built and architected and designed by an old colleague of mine at Automatic who's super brilliant, very good developer named Nikolai. And Nikolai built Glatt Press out of the need for WordPress to be translated into languages other than English. So Glatt Press was built in the era of Backpress. So Glatt Press's heart is Backpress. And it is a standalone piece of software. It is open source. It is still in active development. There are enhancements and tweaks and features going into it pretty much every day at this point. Glatt Press is a lot like Apple's Time Machine, in my opinion, where it does what it needs to do really, really well, and as a result, no one has really touched it because it does exactly what it needs to do. WordPress strings come out, they give translators the ability to turn English strings into whatever language it is that they're translating it into. And then translation files come out, and then there's an adequate enough UI to show completion, successes, incompletion, fuzzy translations, lots of different sort of helpful statistics around getting WordPress and then the surrounding ecosystem of plugins and themes, getting them translated. And that's a big deal because, like Matt had talked about on, I think the State of the Word last year, right? The pretty amazing stat was that like downloads or non-English downloads
of
WordPress, right, surpassed English downloads for the first time with 4.0 or 4.1, And that's a big deal. Like, it means that there are enough non-English speaking users that know what WordPress is, that are downloading it all around the world, that the majority of the developers that are working on WordPress are speaking English, are writing code in English, are the default language in WordPress is English, but more than half of the user base is non-English speaking. So software like GlotPress suddenly is like, holy cow, this is super important, right? Like, why have we not really invested more heavily into the upkeep or the reinvention or the just general, like, why have we not improved this tool, right, is my thought. And so if now that everyone kind of knows what GlotPress is, then while my development focus for the most part, for the greater part of the past 2 months, has been sort of bringing BuddyPress up to speed, getting some things lined up and getting momentum again, I've been lurking in Slack, which is the sort of thing that we've used to replace IRC to chat back and forth, a bunch of chat rooms and groups, and it's been really successful. I think the migration from IRC to Slack has been a super good thing. But I've been lurking in the polyglots and the any of the internationalization channels that there are, and then kind of chiming in whenever I have a thought or a question around problems that I see them run into with GlotPress, to try and identify what the next generation of GlotPress could potentially be. Not that it needs a total rewrite. It doesn't necessarily need what BBPress got. But GlotPress no longer really adequately meets the needs of an active group of contributors that are translating the hundreds of strings that are in WordPress and then the thousands, the tens of thousands of strings that are going to be in all of the plugins and themes that are hosted on WordPress.org. So GlotPress is going to be the piece of software that powers that functionality, but GlotPress as it is today, it would make that not a super pleasurable experience. So what I have learned from hanging out in Slack and in the Polyglots channels and any of the internationalization channels is that I think, in my opinion, the ideal interface for translating WordPress plugins and themes, and there are two different ones, I think. One is what we have today, where it's kind of like a big spreadsheet. It's a table. It's columns and rows. This is what it is in English. This is an empty input box. Put in whatever you think it should be and fill in those fields and then move on. And that is pretty good for just plowing through a bulk of strings. And then the remainder are very context sensitive. And what the Polyglots teams do and people that are contributing actively to translating WordPress, if it's a plugin, they will have a development environment or a local environment set up just like any other developer would have. They install whatever plugins or themes it is that they're translating, and then they look in the UI, they click around and try and find where the string occurs. They want to see where it is. Because where it is and how it is used in the interface may determine exactly what words are necessary to translate from one word in English to another word in Russian or Mandarin or something else. So for those situations, the ideal circumstance, the ideal UI is to be able to enter some sort of string translation mode in WordPress, be able to click on the text that you want to translate, be able to get some sort of interface for saying, hey, this is the English version. What language do we want to translate it into? And what is that translation supposed to be? And then doing it directly from within WordPress. They're two separate approaches with two separate problems that they're trying to solve that end up drilling back down and saving data in the exact same central location. So I think GlotPress as it is today could use a little little UI flattening and refreshing to modernize it a little bit and make it look a little bit sort of more like a modern tool. But then on the WordPress side of it, having there be an interface for cherry-picking strings that aren't completely translated, and then being able to enter in some sort of heads-up kind of mode to say, okay, I found it. This is what it should be. I can contribute this almost pseudo-anonymously, right? Like I can say, oh, well, I installed the Russian language pack, and this string, this paragraph here in the help dropdown is missing a translation. I can just translate it. Let me click on it, submit my translation, save it, and it gets sent off to I forget what the term is, what the role is, if it's a not a moderator, but a whatever their role is in GlotPress. But someone can then own that translation, confirm that it's right, and then bless it, sort of allow it to go into the official Russian translation for WordPress. So making it that easy to update or identify string changes without it being, what is GlotPress? Where do I go? How do I do it? How do I find it? Where does it live? And instead going, oh, well, I'm already logged into WordPress. My language is already set to Russian. There is an untranslated string, and I can translate it. Let me just send this off sort of anonymously. Solves a whole bunch of problems and makes it really easy for contributors to contribute to fixing a global problem with the lowest barrier to entry, and be able to be the most helpful.
Yeah. So I don't even understand it all that much. But when you sort of explain it that way, now it almost seems like that eliminates the need to have all these teams and Rosetta sites and these members and hope that somebody comes along and can join them to participate in the GlotPress. This actually is an easy way for users in that native language to contribute.
And right. So and the new is, you know, John, you basically also have, I guess, telegraphed this, I don't know, by what you just said, which is the plugin developers and theme developers and people like that who are making things first need to dumb it down a little bit and not use so many strings so that you can at least get translatable sets. And the first people that really dumb it down like that, they're going to have the highest adoption rate internationally for their work.
Right.
Because it's
absolutely right.
And then
translations are funny because translations, there is an etiquette to them. And in American English speakers, particularly with WordPress, because WordPress's demeanor is very jovial. It is howdy. It is hey there. And it's important that WordPress have personality. So it is. I'm not saying that that is bad, but it does make translating it maybe not more difficult, but it is a hurdle, right? So to be able to see where the word howdy is in the interface and see it next to your account and your avatar helps someone who maybe doesn't know what howdy means understand that it is a greeting, right? And by providing that context in the UI, it helps differentiate what a string like add new might mean. Now, the strings themselves in WordPress do have the ability to explain or to provide a helper text or context for those strings. There is an art and an etiquette to defining what is the most helpful in that string. And Marcus, there are several different ways that strings are accidentally overcomplicated and as a result make it more difficult to translate. Even something very simple, like including HTML in a string, having a span in there and having some text or a counter or a digit, well, that means that span needs to be retained, right? Because that HTML is getting ran through the translator, if that span goes away, means the PHP, when it's trying to do the string replace and add that number in there, it needs that span. It needs that in there. And if that span is moved out of the string, but instead is wrapped around the replacement, simplifies the string, and now puts the span in version control instead of in get text control. And it's a little tiny enhancement. It's a little improvement. But it does make it easier to translate and less it makes it more inviting and less likely that an innocent translator inexperienced translator or someone with that maybe lacks the confidence or comprehension to really actively be the most efficient and contribute like crazy, when they see HTML, they don't know, they're going to be less likely to fix that string if they don't know HTML or if they don't know how the underpinnings of it works. So simplifying those strings, being more clear and concise, these are difficult tasks. These are not easy. They seem like they would be easy, but there's a science to it like anything else. And the plugin authors that have simpler strings that don't have HTML in them, that don't use contractions, that don't use any kind of jargon, that are very plain and straightforward, I think will yield more positive results and have a more active internationalization community. And then if we sort of do what I'm imagining, then the Rosetta communities, the Spanish community, the French community, the Russian, the Mandarin, all these separate community sites that are actively being worked on and worked towards and that have kind of existed for a few years but have never really been they've never really gotten the attention that they've deserved. They've never really had the environment to congregate the way that they've wanted it. They've been forced off of WordPress.org to do it themselves and self-host. Now, those places become the hub. They become the Italian hub, the Japanese hub. They become the place that if I identify that someone has been contributing a whole ton of translations to whatever language it is that I currently am the moderator of, and maybe they're including their email address or whatever, right? Like they're opting into some identifying information. Now I can reach out to them and go, hey, Marcus, dude, you are killing it. And we have this site over here where we're all already talking. You can log in with your WordPress.org account and come hang out with us over here. That's a big deal, right? Like that is what those community sites are for now. It's not just the insider's club of translators. It is the community for the speakers of that language, of those locales. So if this works, and if what I'm imagining is what people want for it to be, if this ends up making sense, then it has the opportunity to open things up for non-English speakers, I think, and in a pretty special way that they wouldn't have otherwise. So my lurking in the GlotPress channels has has been really helpful. And there's a quote, I think I read something on Reddit, it probably isn't even true, but I found a little inspirational in that, you know, like the somebody said somewhere that I'm going to totally butcher this. I'm going to sound like such an idiot for saying this, but it's here we go. This is After Hours. Nobody's listening anyway. So,
no, wait a minute. After Hours is on Friday. Oh, that's a totally different show. Never mind.
Oh, it's apply filters. I'm going to apply filters to this answer and say that I read somewhere that, Michelangelo would sit and stare at a big block of marble for 8 hours a day, and people would come by and see him sitting there and ask him what he's doing, because he's not doing anything, he's just staring at it. And his reply would say, I'm working, right? And so he would do this for 30 days, a month, 2 months in a row. And without actually breaking stone, he would be imagining the whole build, the process, the whole procedure of what eventually becomes Michelangelo's David, right? Like he needs to load up a lot of data in the front of his mind to be able to go through all of the processes in place to create art. And a piece of art like that is just, it's a statue that just sits there. It's not something that millions of people click on and interface with and talk to and rely on. So when I read this and when I heard this, it reminded me that in my personal life and my professional life and my career, that I enjoy jumping in. I enjoy going in and hammer to nail and cranking stuff out, and that I don't spend enough time just sitting and staring at something. And even if it's a stupid adage and it's not even true, it did resonate with me in a way that has helped me slow down a little bit and helped me define success for myself, for what I think is going to make me be the most productive and do my best work. And that may not, it's definitely not trying to compete with a brilliant mind like Andy Nason or the prolific DevOps abilities of someone like Mark Jaquith, right? Like there are prolific, celebritized engineers that are brilliant minds that are capable of amazing things. Helen Husandi. There are so many people that can multitask and memorize and be on point and be so good all the time that I can't be those people. Like I wish I could. I wish I was, but I'm just not capable of being on point all the time like I know that they are.
Well, how about this? Let me read you something. Let me see if it's familiar to you. So I Googled this during the show. You've provided me ample time to Google, and I'm on thinkexist.com, and I see a quote here from Michelangelo, and it says, quote, "In every block of marble, I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison the lovely apparition to reveal it to the other eyes as mine see it," end quote. Is that it? Does that right. Sound familiar?
That's it.
You see Glot Press this way, and you just have to chip away at it so other people can finally see it the way you see it. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I just narrowed it down. You know, and just as we're talking about translations, the way my mind works, I'm thinking, I wonder if there's a language out there where you can install WordPress, and howdy is actually an insult. So every time you log into WordPress, you're getting insulted, you know, with the howdy. I don't know. I find that funny, but it's probably it's a realistic concern.
It is. I think it is. And it's I admittedly have a limited exposure and experience to languages other than English. Back in 2007 and 8, had a really good relationship and client with a pretty sweet WordPress installation and BuddyPress powering it. That had a very strong Spanish speaking, like a very committed, very passionate Spanish speaking community. And the goal of this community was to introduce a Spanish speaking community with an English speaking community, with these two separate groups of people, and to purposefully introduce them to each other. And
I worked at that bar.
And so certain members would have their language set to Spanish, and certain ones would have their language set to English. And this client wanted complete creative control over the translations themselves. They wanted to own all of the phraseology and word and verbiage that WordPress was going to put out, because they didn't think that the Spanish translations were adequate at the time. And they had concerns about phrases like howdy and how they would be conveyed to a user who is visiting this site for what is basically sort of like a serious conversation, and it didn't set the tone for them, right? So I can confirm that, at least in my anecdotal experience from 5, 6, 7 years ago, that is plausible. That is a real thing. It may be less than 1% of installations, but I have witnessed that it firsthand. Where,
but can't we just change out where that string says howdy? I mean, really, we're talking about translating howdy. That's weird. But
you can just eliminate it completely.
But something that instead that maybe acknowledges time, or, you know, good evening,
sure,
Jeff, you know, or good morning, or and that would be so much more easily translatable, because that's the basic root of what you learn when you learn a new language is good morning, good evening, good afternoon, you know.
Sure.
I've actually replaced I've replaced Hello Dolly with Samuel Jackson, so it says who the hell are you saying howdy to? Or something like that. But that's above and beyond the scope here of that. So So Triple J, which I like better than Triple H, how has your enthusiasm for the projects grown with more time to spend on them? I mean, you finally have, you know, we were talking about former 10-upper, former automatician, and I imagine that with those full-time gigs, yeah, you were probably doing client work or working on .com or whatever else on the teams, and there's probably a part of you that was always wanting to spend more time and really hammer away on these projects that you just have a passion for. So now with 6 months of salary, has your enthusiasm grown as you've worked on them full time, or tell us about how that experience has gone?
Yeah.
Or three months in, are you like bored? Because you have too much time to spend on them.
No. It's awesome. You know, I feel like you should. I feel like you'd be better off interviewing my wife to get like the genuine read on, how being able to finally focus on improving the software that I haven't been able to focus on in years has directly, positively impacted basically everything.
I would not have thought about that. Wow. I mean, you're talking about just your life in general, life, balance, work, everything.
Yes. Because I mean, I think, and so I've, I don't know how, like, so I enjoy learning and improving things and refactoring things and being helpful and educating others, and like I enjoy it so much that I almost kind of feel bad getting to do it, because it feels like it's not like it feels like I'm doing it for myself, even though I'm not, because I feel so good doing it. So knowing that that I'm able to, that like the greater, at least enough, right, of the WordPress community believes in my ability to run with these projects, invest in them, and trust that I'm the best person to solve those problems, that at least that's chosen to step forward, right? Is a big deal. It's I think I'm not too unlike most people, where you go through highs and lows. There's some days are you're more confident than others. Some days you just wake up feeling like today is just not going to go right, or whatever, right? Like, you go through those back and forth, right? Well,
at least we gotta except for this interview. This you've made my day.
We gotta pick you up, Buttercup. We gotta get you happy,
Buttercup, Mister.
but I guess the for me, with Buddy Press and BB Press and with Glot Press now too, I think my career in WordPress is maybe not super unique, but I've had a really good opportunity to make some good friends at Automattic and at 10Up, and to see the inner workings of a legitimate agency. Like, 10Up is an agency. Jake has an agency background. He runs it like a real brick and mortar agency, and really without working at one, you don't understand what it's like on the inside. And and working on WordPress.com, working on Jetpack, working on VIP, I mean, those are the three coolest things that Automattic has and does. And so working on post likes, comment likes, I had the opportunity to improve a lot of different individual little things over the course of the past few years that that deviated from what my focus was, from the thing that I personally wanted to achieve. And and the things that I want to achieve didn't really align with what it is that Automattic wanted or what 10Up wanted. And that's okay. And I was never, I mean, I think, right? I mean, hopefully somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but left on good terms and no hard feelings, and still talk to like everyone that I talked to in the originally anyways. So,
well, based on everyone I've talked to, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But at the same time, I invested a few years, right? I mean, four into things that weren't, I mean, they weren't mine. They weren't for me, and that's okay, because neither are Buddy Press or BB, they're not mine, but I feel like I see what I want Buddy Press and BB Press and now Glot Press to be fairly vividly, and I have a little bit of creative control, at least over Buddy Press and BB Press, and maybe not Glot Press, but I hope to at least influence that project in a direction like we talked about. And And with the things with client work that TenUp was doing, in my role there and as the director of engineering was kind of a murky role because there were other directors sort of doing similar job, and it was very much a fast-paced agency background, which is not where my experience is. And there were already senior-level engineers that were kind of doing almost directorial-style leadership things at TenUp. So a lot of what I did at TenUp was, you know, really the buddy press work that came in and sort of helping architect some of those things, doing some whatever leadership contributions and code review and things that I could there, but it really wasn't an outstanding fit for what it is that I'm good at. And at Automattic, Automattic is a funny part of because I learned a lot and I miss working at Automattic with everyone that works there and the energy there and the immense talent of the 300 plus people that work there now is absolutely insane. But the things that I wanted to achieve and things that Jen Milo and I had talked about, profiles and WordPress.org and WordCamp.org and some of the things that we wanted to do there, these were all super awesome ideas that I was elated to go to Automattic and have a job working on these things. And then once that was my job kind of eventually wasn't those things, and it became an actual, like the reality of that job was that it was a job and that there were other things on WordPress.com and things that were prioritized that really weren't the things that I wanted to do. And I think that most of the people that would go to work at Automattic don't go with an agenda like I had. And that's my fault. There were things that I was hoping that working at Automattic would enable for me to do, and that is unfair for anyone to go into someone else's company and hope that that company will just pay you to do whatever, right? So instead, like I worked on VIP, I worked on Jetpack, I loved what I was doing. It was a great group of people working on awesome software that benefits the world. I mean, it's an amazing company with awesome products, with amazing, talented, super bright engineers that I wish that I could still get to spend a ton of time with that are not really as interested in forums or community websites as I am, right? Like, the fact that those 300 people aren't as passionate about the things that I'm passionate about is not a bad thing, right? It just means that I tried to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish in the wrong way. And it took a few years to figure that out, and maybe it shouldn't have. But today, knowing that at least 224 members of the WordPress community believe in me and my abilities enough to invest in letting me focus on BuddyPress and BBPress and GlotPress without the distractions of client work or working on features or other things that are unrelated to these pieces of software is one of the biggest things that that would, I think, will probably happen in my career, right? It's I think it is very rare that anyone will have the opportunity to have people rally behind you, right? Like, they do believe in Buddy Press and BB Press and Glop Press. Clearly, they enjoy the software enough to invest in the future of the software. But if for my Indiegogo campaign, they invested in me, they invested in my ability to improve that software, and that takes those down days, those days where you think, man, the day job isn't cutting it, or I'm not super happy, or I don't feel like getting up and doing this today, and it eliminates all of that. Like that goes away completely.
Yeah, because you realize, oh crap, Jeff Chandler gave me $20. I gotta work. I gotta get this done.
It is that. You know, you joke, but it is that. It is absolutely that.
You've got something to prove. You've got a lot of people wanting to see that 50K turn into action. And so far, you've done a great job. I mean, we've got Buddy Press releases and Glop Press development. I'm still waiting for BB Press, though.
Yeah, it's like the phenomenon that you see, and I have a friend who is in a band in Chicago, and they crowdfunded their new album. They were just trying to get 30 grand. They ended up with $250,000. And so that's just like you. I mean, they're waiting for the new album to hit. You know, they want to see what you come up with in the studio, and they're willing to pay to get that.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, you've got the rest of March, you've got April, and you've got May. And then that's it. I don't know what will happen. I don't know if the world's going to end or what. But I wonder if you'll maybe start up another campaign, or if you'll – I mean, maybe it's too early to find out. Maybe I should just wait and see. But I know for at least a lot of the work that you've been doing with Buddy Press and stuff is sort of trying to recreate – sort of do things in such a way to where you're creating momentum. So in case maybe you don't get 6 more months worth of time to be full time on those projects, maybe that momentum will carry through. You know, you've been able to spend so much time on those projects that they have momentum now that can carry them through maybe the rest of the year or something.
So that's a good question. And I think, I don't know that I'm not really thinking that far ahead, which is probably a problem.
I'll give you 20 more bucks. You know, if you do it again.
I appreciate that. I think what happens, what I'm able to accomplish and achieve in the first 6 months will, without a doubt, directly influence and impact what happens afterwards. So if it turns out that people that helped out are not satisfied with the results or the communication or the output, then if I end up disappointing the people that have invested in me and in Buddy Press and BB Press and Glop Press, then the 6 months after that, after June, are going to be exactly what you would imagine that they would be, right? But if things go well, I think things are going okay, but if everyone sort of is satisfied with the output, the quality, the pace, the communication, the features, improvements, if they are tangible enough where those efforts are, they are what people expected for them to be or better, then ideally, right, 6 months from now, I won't need to do another Indiegogo campaign, right? Someone or multiple someones may say, hey, you did so good the first time, we're going to reinvest exactly the same way we did before, right? I don't know. It could be full-time doing exactly what I'm already doing, working at a place. It could be that Phlox becomes sustainable enough where it is the WordPress.com equivalent for BuddyPress, and it on its own is able to sustain my contributions or someone else's contributions, Stephen Edgar's, Boone, Paul, and there's tons of talent actively daily contributing to BuddyPress and BBPress that would benefit from the focus that I've had, and maybe 6 months from now it's not even me, maybe it's somebody else, maybe my Indiegogo campaign isn't the only one, maybe it's just the first. Maybe someone else is able to put together their own campaign and carry on where I'm able to leave off, right? I mean, it could go a bunch of different directions. And
so it's like Triple J, you get a 50K. Stephen Edgar, you get a 50K. Boom, you get a 50K. You know, let's just take turns giving each other 50K. Let's see what happens.
Well, I think it's a reasonable amount. It's a livable salary that is a nice round number currently for us that at least our community can relate to and identify with and imagine where that money would go, right? I mean, Marcus, you had asked, I think, in the beginning of the podcast, where did that money go, right? And the first thing I did was pretty much just pay 6 months worth of everything. 6 months on the car payment, 6 months on the mortgage, make sure the insurance is paid on everything.
Good.
Save money for utilities, phone bills, put that stuff all in a place where that money is not, that money's already spent. Right, and now I don't. That stuff is done, and I'm good through June. I'm good really through July 1st, and then the rest will go towards essentially probably taxes because I haven't done my taxes for 2014 yet, which I'm sort of afraid to do, and just general food, right? Food and.
Don't forget milk bones for Paul.
Right. Dog food. you know, just the general, you know, stuff. It's not like I'm not out putting a new roof on the house and going on vacations and you know, flying my wife and the dogs out to WordCamp Maui for
there's no pool with the BuddyPress logo at the bottom of it.
right.
That'd be something else if that's what you were doing, man. You're in Hawaii taking selfies like, thanks WordPress community, it was awesome. Peace out.
I guess I'm sort of happy that no one made fun of it in a way that became like a thing, because that very easily could have just been like, oh well, let's Photoshop JTrip with a platinum grill and whatever else, right? Like I'm happy it didn't go that direction, and I hope it doesn't. Oh, now I'm regretting.
I think you may have just invited people to do that. But
let's bling him out.
I'm your fellow backpress aficionado Otto, also known as Samuel Wood, says that he can't offer you much, but he'd happily provide as much barbecue as possible for you to continue working on the BBs.
Oh, I'll take it. he took me to this amazing amazing barbecue place in Chicago. I don't remember what it was called. I think I ask him every time I see him. So if it's anything like that, then I accept that challenge.
And let's see. I have. We're gonna wrap this up here. I got one more question for you. I know Benjamin Intel. Looks like Intel. But he says that he's been using Poe Edit and he's heard of GLATPress, but he wants to know why is GLATPress not in plugin form? He says that he's built a .po editor ages ago in the admin, so he knows it's possible.
No reason. Good question. And there, so there are, in my sort of market research, there are a few plugins that are essentially Poedit for live sort of translation files, POMOs, importing, exporting, all that. I think, gosh, what was it? The code styling localization? Am I? This is. I haven't looked at this in years. There are a few, and they're pretty. They at least they were. They used to be pretty sweet. And I guess I'm imagining something that is less powerful than that. But and maybe that's a mistake. Maybe it should be. Could be. And maybe eventually it evolves into that. But I think the problem that I want for GLATPress to solve is different than simply going in and having a list of 50 translations that you need to do. Like, that's no fun. Like, that's just another queue. That is just another queue to work. That's another thing that needs to... That's another bubble that needs to go away, right? And I'm thinking more about the... taking the sort of drive-by comment idea, the drive-by Facebook-like, the drive-by Twitter-like, whatever, and applying that to translations to just be able to say, hey, well, this isn't right. Let's submit a fix, very low level of effort, and then I will forget that I ever submitted it, right? Like, take the commitment and work out of contributing and make contributing a very high return on a very low level of effort, and then ship that to everyone. So it could be a plugin. I mean, theoretically, it could be as much of a plugin as BBPress is now, right? I don't know that GLATPress needs the full rewrite that BBPress got, but it could be, and it could just be a sort of a bridge, just a layer in between to interface with all of GLATPress's queries and things, and just pull it in as a plugin. There's no real reason it couldn't be, but it's not that part of it isn't the part that I'm imagining that I'll be the most helpful with. So hopefully that answers his question.
So before we get to the plugin picks of the week, which ironically has everything to do with the BB, so you might want to stick around as Marcus goes through the list. Marcus, do you have any last questions? Anything you want to ask Triple J, the maestro himself?
No, I mean, there's a lot of takeaways from this, just from a developer standpoint, from just an enthusiast standpoint, and from even my own story, you know, getting into WordPress and into the community and things, I can sense that that's your main motive is just community, because you've throughout your career dealt with some pretty cool communities of people, and it mm-hmm. sounds like you're just kind of, this is the moonshot. This is the thing that's going to really change it for the whole world practically.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like some WordPress ninja or rockstar could go into a bar and say, I need 50 grand so I can work on this. I mean, that just doesn't happen, so.
But I hope it does enable other developers to. I hope it proves that it's possible. You know, like there are contributors to BuddyPress and BBPress that you know they were really good at filtering talent and commitment into automatic, right? To say this person understands the whole process, bugs, patches, tickets, feedback, communication, chat, email, they get it. Hey, you should apply, right? Like the BBs have historically been really good at identifying which contributors would have been good applicants when I was at Automatic and even at 10UP, there were so many contributors that that it was my focus there was more about trying to enable them to contribute to core more than it was trying to bring people that were contributing into 10UP. But it's at least my experience, and I would imagine a few others that either the BBs are your commitment or they are a little bit of a stepping stone into a career that may not involve BuddyPress or BBPress at all. And it would be ideal for this to be bigger than me. It would be great if it is somebody else's Indiegogo campaign or if it is a big enough business or where BuddyPress and BBPress are a big enough portion of their revenue, like the folks at Web Dev Studios contribute to feature dev and code in BuddyPress with every single release, for there to be a bigger company, right, for the people can identify with that actively contributes to the ongoing development of the software itself. So hopefully my campaign proves that is a valuable investment, and that if they're not already contributing, that they think about it, or if they are contributing, that they continue to do so, or do a little bit more.
So the name of the barbecue place in Chicago is Honky Tonk Barbecue. And the owner's name is Willie.
Man, the place was the atmosphere, the environment, everyone that worked there, the food, and it was awesome. That was some good barbecue. I had to hang out with Otto for a night. It was
that sounds awesome. Like a night to remember.
That was a good night.
So thanks, Marcus, Otto. Yeah, Marcus, why don't you wrap this puppy up? We'll do whatever else, and then give us the plug and picks of the week.
Well, I'll give you a couple then. We got kind of long here on this episode, so just real quick, BuddyPress Identicons, just like GitHub style stuff. So it basically takes a kind of a hash of your username and then pixelates it, which is pretty cool because everybody has kind of their own little barcode, which was neat. Neat to see.
That's cool.
BuddyPress cover photo. It enables your site users to add a picture to their profile page, just like the header in Facebook.
We were just talking about that today in the dev chat.
Yeah, go check it out. And Friends for BBPress allows you to add friends within BBPress forums, and it creates
that's cool
a request that goes to each other's user profile page. You just hit add friend, and that's it. You have to accept the request to actually be their friend.
Facebook press.
That's right. once it's accepted, you can see each other on their profile and see their activity and all that stuff.
So that's cool.
Plug-in picks of the week.
Whoa, that's about the quickest plug-in picks of the week segment, I think, in history of the show. So, that's going to do it for this episode, but before we wrap it up here, John, thank you very much for spending so much time on the show here tonight. I very much enjoyed it. Can't wait to have you on again, maybe in 3 or 4 more months, maybe when you're doing another crowdfunding campaign. I don't know. But great to have you on. Now that Buddy Press is going really great, BB Press has got to be next. Spend the next 3 months on BB Press, please. That's just me getting my request in. But tell us where people could find you and keep track on you and tabs on both BB Press and Buddy Press.
So you can follow me on Twitter, at JJJ. You can I blog at jaco.by. My last name is Jacoby, so there's that. If you just want to contact me in general, jjj.me. But more importantly, you can read about, learn about, download, and use Buddy Press at buddypress.org. And same with BB Press at bbpress.org. I think glotpress.org redirects. I don't know exactly where it goes. It might go to the development P2. It's been a while since I've looked there.
It goes and then to blog.glotpress.org.
Yeah, that's where it goes. And then there's Backpress. Backpress.org is still there, but it's very sad and lonely and hasn't been updated in several years. So I personally want to take backpress.org into back into the WordPress.org and BuddyPress.org network of sites, but I've been told that it is more likely that we would just kill it with fire than it is that it would get brought back into Yeah. So
at some point in the future, you know, I've heard you actually discuss the history of Backpress, and although we didn't get deep into it tonight, we got into it deep with a lot of other things, but not Backpress. I found it fascinating that in a different time, in a different era, in a different multiverse, that it's very possible instead of WordPress being the thing that we all use and love, it could have easily been Backpress. And in fact, Backpress was For the amount of time that it took to get certain features into WordPress, Backpress sort of already had those built in.
That is true. A lot of those bugs were fixed earlier on because there wasn't an audience using Backpress. They weren't even breaking changes to Backpress. This was just the version of Backpress that it was, right? So. Backpress could have been our composer. It could have been WordPress's grunt. It could have been WordPress's node. It could have been the living, breathing heart that posts and pages and categories and tags and users and rewrite rules and caching and databases and object-oriented, whatever you want, could have been living there. And then everything would have been an application built on top of it, a dashboard, a forum, a social network, a blog, a store. It could have been a different universe for sure.
You've opened my mind, and I think a lot of other people are out there like, whoa, why the heck, this sounds awesome. Why aren't we using it? The hell with WordPress, but we'll at some point in the future, we'll cover that in the beginning of the episode because it's great and you have more inside knowledge on it. Than most people. I know Otto. I've listened to him.
And the other people that have the inside knowledge are too embarrassed to talk about it. Apparently, I have less shame.
So, with that said, that's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes we've ever done on wptavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffR0. And Marcus, how about yourself?
You can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, on Twitter, at marcuscouch. And if you listeners out there have gotten value out of this episode, and I know you have if you've made it this far, then please review us on iTunes. We're shooting for number one, so let's go.
Now, as far as next week goes, we did have some scheduled guests, but I've had to reschedule them for the week after. So unless I schedule somebody else, well, we didn't get to cover any news in this segment, and there's a lot of great news to talk about, especially some major changes that have taken place on the WordPress.org plugin directory, theme directory, and some stuff involving stats. So I think maybe next week, Marcus and I will get you caught up on everything and talk about what's new in the WordPress ecosystem. And then the week after that, we're going to have Stephen Cronin and Will Herron on from Envato to talk Theme Forest. And boy, you know that's going to be a great conversation. So until next week, and everybody, not weekend, but until next week, everybody have a great following rest of the week. Talk to you later.